From London, this is The Standard Podcast, and I'm Mark Blunden. Householders of Britain, rejoice mildly, because you'll soon potentially be saving over £200 on those sky-high energy bills. Gas and electricity bills are set to fall by 12.3% in April, to their lowest level since Russia's full-scale invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago. The regulator Ofgem announced the cap for the average annual household dual-fuel bill for the upcoming quarter, covering April to June. Consumer groups welcomed the move, which will see the lowest household bills in 2 years, but it's still 50% higher than 3 years ago. The reduction of the cap follows big falls in wholesale gas prices over recent months and will help around 29 million customers on standard variable tariffs. It's all about the maximum price that energy firms are allowed to charge per unit of gas and electricity.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/news ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Electricity. However, while the main cap's been cut, daily standing electricity charges covering supply connection are increasing by some £28 annually. The Evening Standard's business editor Jonathan Prynne has been covering developments and their wider economic impact. And Jonathan joins us on the line now. What's the latest you're reporting on Friday with the Ofgem cap change? How will this impact people's bills in the main?
Well, Ofgem have delivered a very pleasant surprise today. They said that bills, or the cap on bills rather, will come down by just over 12% from April. And well, that's equivalent to a reduction averaging £238 on an annualised basis, bringing the average bill down to £1,690.
Could you give us an explainer of how the cap works and how it's applied in terms of usage?
Yeah, I mean, people do misunderstand it. It's not a cap on the amount you pay, although that's commonly how it's kind of presented. It's a cap on the tariff that you pay. That is per unit of gas and electricity. So, yeah, you can't just leave all your lights on and your heating on, expect to pay no more than the cap. And the cap is for an average household, of course, as well. So a big house with 4 or 5 bedrooms will pay more than that headline cap figure, unless they're very, very abstemious in their consumption. But it's a guideline. It tells us roughly where the direction, where the prices of your bills are likely to go up or down. But you still have to be careful in what you use. Otherwise, your bills can get out of control, even with the cap.
And what's Ofgem's role in setting the cap?
Ofgem is the regulator for the industry, and every quarter they look at the wholesale prices and a whole host of other factors as well, and set these maximum tariffs that suppliers can charge customers on a per unit basis. And it's for the 29 million people that are on standard variable tariffs, and the vast majority of people. And electricity and gas providers cannot charge more than that set rate that is declared every quarter, was designed to stop customers from being ripped off by sky-high prices.
What are the wholesale factors that impact consumer energy prices and those big increases we've seen previously?
Wholesale prices are a huge part of what you and I pay in our bills. Wholesale prices absolutely rocketed after the Russian full-scale invasion of Ukraine 2 years ago. And that fed through very quickly to domestic prices and made all the problems that we had in 2022 and 2023. But the supply-demand sort of mix has changed over the last year or so. There's been far more shipments of gas from America that's from Russia. And the weather's been quite kind as well, relatively mild winters in Europe. And as a result, the wholesale price has fallen very dramatically over the last year, now down to about 60p a therm, whereas it was 10 times that during the peak of the energy crisis just a year or so ago.
Let's go to the ads. Coming up, how the changes will impact inflation and what's the city's confidence in a potential Labour government. Why not hit follow in the meantime? Give us a rating.
Tired of ads barging into your favourite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back. Jonathan, what's the link between energy prices and the rate of inflation?
Such a huge component of inflation is energy prices, or has been for the last few years. So this fall will be a manna from heaven for the government, because most economists are predicting that inflation will fall to 2% in April when this price cap reduction comes in. And that, of course, is the Bank of England's target rate. The downside is that it probably won't last, and inflation will probably tick up a little bit later in the year to perhaps back up to 4%. But yeah, it will be very, very helpful for the cost of the living crisis, that's for certain.
And consumer groups are welcoming the cap cuts. We've heard some awful reports of households in freezing cold conditions and in real dire straits since prices shot up.
Yeah, we have. People who can't afford to turn the heating on, people that can't afford to pay their bills, people in all sorts of problems. And I think, yeah, it's great. Consumer groups across the spectrum have welcomed this, obviously. But they're also pointing out that prices are still about 50% higher than they were 3 years ago. I mean, typically the annual average bill was less than £1,000 until about 3 years ago. It suddenly started taking off and then really shot up when the Ukraine war broke out. So yes, of course it's good, but you know, £1,600 a year is still an awful lot for people to find. And consumer groups are still very concerned about what they call fuel poverty, people who spend at least 10% of their income on heating and lighting and power. And it's getting better, but it's not over yet.
Now, also, I wanted to ask you about a very interesting piece you wrote on Thursday about potential economic green shoots. Could you tell us more?
I think there are sort of tender green shoots just poking up through the frost. There's definitely a slightly optimistic tone about business surveys. The PMI survey yesterday, which is probably the most closely watched business survey, showed growth in February. But what I'm hearing anecdotally is that it's still quite fragile. And I think there's also a worry. The PMI flagged up yesterday that the Houthi attacks on shipping in the Red Sea is definitely starting to feed through to shipping costs into prices. So I think the worry is that, yes, we'll get this fall in inflation in April, but it will go back up again and could get stuck. I think this is the concern, at sort of 3-4%, still above the target, the Bank of England's target of 2%. And then the big question then is what knock-on effect that has for the Bank of England's decision making on interest rates. And without interest rates coming down, there really is very little chance of the economy really starting to recover strongly. So I think that's what I was trying to say, is that yes, things are a little bit better, probably, but there's still a huge amount of uncertainty out there and a long, long way to go before we can say a strong recovery is really underway.
And also the suggestion the city must export more of its services to the rest of the UK. What's your thinking?
My feeling is very much that the city's doing quite well at the moment. The number of city-type jobs are up to a record, 615,000, and they are a massive exporter of services to the rest of the world, which brings in a huge amount of income and helps the balance of payments for the United Kingdom as a whole. I think the point I was trying to make was that the rest of the country is maybe not doing so well as London and the city. And one of the issues that's flagged up by businesses all around the country is access to finance. So yeah, the city is a fantastic attribute and asset for UK PLC, but it also needs to make sure that the funding is getting to the businesses that support the UK economy and not just selling their services overseas, however valuable that is.
Finally, with the general election looming, presumably Labour with an eye on government have been schmoozing city bosses. How much economic confidence is there in a Starmer premiership?
They have. There's been a lot of schmoozing going on, you're right. I think they're reasonably relaxed about Labour getting in. I think there's two things possibly that are still a concern. One is the lack of detail on policy, particularly economic policy. Second, I think there's just a worry ever since the disastrous quasi-Kwarteng budget of September 22, the markets have been looking very, very closely at the UK and its ability to fund itself. And to be fair to Hunt and Jeremy Hunt and Rishi Sunak, they've done a pretty good job of dampening that down and making the markets more confident that the UK is capable of paying its way. I think the worry is that if Labour gets in and starts spending, having raised expectations during the campaign, particularly amongst its own supporters and members, and then starts opening the floodgates on spending, I think you could see the bond markets testing the UK again. I don't think they will do that because I think they've learned that lesson. But, you know, it is a worry, particularly as we know so little about what Labour plans to do. So I'm hoping we won't get another run on the pound and a run on the gilts market that we had after that infamous budget. But I think it's at the back of everyone's minds.
There's much more news and features in the Evening Standard newspaper and online at standard.co.uk. We're back on Monday at 4 p.m.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.